You're listening to The Space Show on Southern FM with Andrew Rennie. This Saturday, November 16, will mark the 40th anniversary of the launch of the third and final Skylab manned mission. Now, Skylab was an outgrowth of the Apollo Lunar Program. It was originally called the Apollo Applications Program. The project went through quite a few design changes, but ended up as the Skylab space station itself, plus three manned flights to it. Skylab 1 was the unfueled Saturn V stage. Skylabs 2, 3 and 4 were the three manned missions that used Apollo command and service modules launched by Saturn 1B rockets. These manned missions lasted 28, 54 and 84 days respectively. Now, on this evening's The Space Show, we will recall the disastrous launch of Skylab 1 on 1973, May the 14th, and the brave effort by Mission Control and the Skylab 2 crew to salvage the project. Well, the countdown for the launch of Skylab 1 went as expected, and the launch initially appeared to have been successful.
Mark, T-minus 1 minute and continuing to count. A water deluge system now has been turned on, activated at the pad area. Pressurization taking place now. The various tanks aboard the vehicle being pressurized, switching to internal power. All stages switching now to internal power. All propellant tanks being pressurized. Count continuing smoothly. The water at the pad covering the flame deflectors. Now we've passed the 30-second mark. Water also will be coming on to the decks of the mobile launcher at the ignition point. T-minus 20 seconds, and the countdown continues to go smoothly. Guidance release, T-minus 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8. We have ignition sequence has started. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. And we have a liftoff. The Skylab lifting off the pad now, moving up. Skylab has cleared the tower.
Houston is now controlling. 18 seconds pitch and roll program started. Saturn now maneuvering to its proper flight path attitude. 35 seconds, 1 nautical mile in altitude, looking good. Range safety gives Saturn a green. We've cleared the beach. 50 seconds, 2.5 nautical miles in altitude. The ground display data shows good stable thrust on all five engines. 1 minute 5 seconds, 4 nautical miles in altitude, coming up now and prayer to maximum aerodynamic pressure on the vehicle. 1 minute 10 seconds. Roll program complete. The pitch profile still in progress. 1 minute 20 seconds, 7 nautical miles in altitude. The velocity now reading 2,500 feet per second. 1 minute 30 seconds, pass through max Q, still looking good. Saturn now at 11 nautical miles in altitude, 5 nautical miles downrange. Velocity now reading 3,300 feet per second. 55 seconds, all sources continuing to look good. 20 nautical miles in altitude, on center engine shutdown. Shutdown on time, reports booster system is engineer. 2 minutes 33 seconds, 40 nautical miles in altitude, standing by now for first stage shutdown. Stage shutdown, good separation on time, for good ignition on the 5 second stage engines. Saturn now 56 nautical miles in altitude, 64 nautical miles downrange. 9,300 feet per second now reading the velocity. The huge first stage of falling away now out of business. 3 minutes 10 seconds, coming up on skirt set. Stage has jettisoned on schedule. The 11,400-pound ring dropping away now from the second stage engines. All sources continuing to look good. 3 minutes 33 seconds, the two habitability area vent valves are now open. Reports booster of bleeding off nitrogen stored on board pre-launch. We now show Saturn 88 nautical miles in altitude, 124 nautical miles downrange. Velocity now reading 11,000 feet per second. Looking good, reports booster coming up on 4 minutes, mark 4 minutes. Plus 10 seconds, Saturn now 108 nautical miles in altitude, 170 nautical miles downrange. Velocity now reading 11,244 feet per second. Plus 30 seconds, still looking at five good second stage engines performing as advertised. It's 55 seconds. The multiple docking adapter vent valves have closed now at 1.3 pounds per square inch. 83 nautical miles in altitude, 268 nautical miles downrange. Velocity now reads 12,634 feet per second. Center time, good sustained thrust on the remaining four engines. They burn for about four more minutes. The timing in this event quite different from a probe, but this Saturn is carrying a much lighter payload to orbit. The shutdown time to when Saturn is beginning to pitch over for more straight and level flying rather than climbing for altitude. We now show Saturn at 116 nautical miles in altitude, 328 nautical miles downrange.
However, soon after getting into orbit, it became apparent that something was seriously wrong.
This is Skylab Control. 2 hours, 41 minutes, ground elapsed time in the mission of Skylab 1, Skylab Space Station, now in orbit, coming up on the Honeysuckle, Australia tracking station. Still some doubt in the minds of flight controllers here in Mission Control as to whether the main solar panels on the workshop have indeed deployed. They've had no confirmation on the ground from telemetry that this is the case. The solar panels on the telescope mount have deployed normally. Also, the micrometeoroid shield around the workshop has partially deployed. The large wings, three sections of solar panels on each wing, one on each side of the workshop, generate anywhere from 51 to 125 volts, depending on the sun angle at the time. This power goes through chargers, which in turn keep storage batteries in the workshop built up to supply power throughout the mission. Half of each orbit approximately is in darkness when no power can be generated by the solar panels. The two solar panel wings are deployed out to the side of the workshop, and each panel on the wings operates on similar to a scissors action, spring-loaded to extend the panels. Be getting data now through Honeysuckle. We'll stand by for comments to the flight director from the flight controllers who are concerned with the workshop electrical power system and relay this information.
And so there it was, several hours after launch, Skylab 1 passing across Australia. The Australians manning the Honeysuckle Creek tracking station near Canberra were ready and waiting for it.
This is Skylab Control, 4 hours, 14 minutes, ground elapsed time, Skylab Space Station mission. Here in the control center, the problems associated with the failure of the Saturn workshop solar panels to deploy are being discussed at some length by management and flight controllers. Preliminary telemetry indications are there could have been a malfunction with one solar array beam fairing and the meteoroid shield, which could have led to subsequent anomalies. These malfunctions were indicated to have occurred 1 minute and 3 seconds after liftoff based on post-launch examination of telemetry. The planned 28-day mission is not possible without deployment of the workshop main solar panels. Project officials are considering an alternate mission using the command service module power system to augment the limited power supply provided by the Apollo telescope mount solar panels aboard the workshop through a system of managing the two power sources for the optimum usage. An announcement will be made as soon as these decisions have been reached. The decision on such an alternate mission is expected to be had by about 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, at which time a news conference will be held at the Cape, and it is expected that Skylab Program Director Bill Schneider will take part. We're starting to get data now through the Honeysuckle Australia tracking station. This is a rather low elevation angle pass of a little over 4 degrees, or approximately, I stand corrected, that 86 degree is the max elevation on this particular pass, almost directly overhead at Honeysuckle. Almost 9 minutes remaining in this pass across Honeysuckle Station. We'll stand by on the Skylab control circuit for the Honeysuckle, followed by Hawaii and the next stateside pass. At 4 hours, 18 minutes, ground elapsed time, this is Skylab control.
If the space station was to be saved, urgent steps had to be taken to control the use of gas aboard Skylab.
This is Skylab Mission Control at 2 seconds after the hour. midway through its 58th revolution. The spacecraft is now traveling on a descending node over the Indian Ocean. It is on the dark side of the Earth. At the highest point in its orbit, it is now 237.7 nautical miles above the surface of the Earth. At its lowest point, 235.4 nautical miles. Present speed for the space station is 25,096.6 feet per second. The period of revolution is 1 hour, 33 minutes, 22.3 seconds. Flight Director Donald Putty has requested his guidance and navigation controller to provide him with instructions that will allow the greatest possible conservation of gas used by the thruster attitude control system. While maneuvering required to provide stable temperatures in the orbital workshop section of the space station has used about 24% of the total supply of attitude control gas, the remaining gas is more than double the minimum amount required to conduct all the experiments originally planned for an 8-month period with 3 separate astronaut teams. Nevertheless, flight controllers are taking action to maintain as large an excessive reserve of attitude control fuel as possible. Notes on work that might be done by the first Skylab crew to deploy one of the solar panels that is believed to have stuck when the meteoroid shield was torn off shortly after Monday's launch suggest that the efforts will be made during the first daylight pass of the stand-up EVA. Attempts to deploy one solar wing will be made only if the crew feels that it can be done without difficulty. Because the wing has been on the shadowed part of the space station, the temperature may be too low for the solar panels to move out freely without further assistance, even if obstructions are removed by the astronaut. If the crew does not believe it can free the solar panels, which would provide another 6,000 watts of electrical generating power, engineering photos will be taken for use in planning the following second Skylab manned mission. This is Skylab Mission Control at 2 minutes and 10 seconds after the hour.
Another indication that Skylab was in strife were rising temperatures inside the laboratory.
Skylab Control at 0 hours GMT. The Skylab space station is now in its 149th revolution, midway through the nighttime part of its orbit about the Earth. The spacecraft will continue a 68-degree pitched-up attitude for one additional daylight pass, ending at Vanguard. Then at about 1:19 Greenwich Mean Time, or 8:19 p.m. Central Daylight Time, commands will be sent to return the spacecraft to a lower pitch, 45 degrees up, so that batteries can be recharged by the Apollo telescope mount solar cells. The pitched-up attitude has already brought some temperatures down in the workshop area, where film and food are stored. Floor-level food storage areas are now estimated to be at 125 degrees, while wall areas are estimated at 127.5 degrees. Of the 25 atmospheric gas temperature transducers recorded on mission control displays, 12 continue to read off-scale high, or above 120 degrees. Other readings vary from 55.9 in the multiple docking adapter to 116.6 on the experimental compartment ceiling. The suit umbilical system coolant loop, aluminum tubing filled with water, is still recording 34.0 degrees Fahrenheit. A temperature increase is expected during the coming night as a result of the SUS habitation area reset attitude maneuver now underway. A fluctuation in the output of charger battery regulator module number 17, that's CBRM number 17, which indicated an electrical output of about one-half the normal level, then accelerated to more than normal output, has now stopped. This charger battery regulator module is now producing at a normal level and is expected to cause no further problems. This is Skylab Control at 2 minutes after the hour.
Plans to launch the first crew to the station were put on hold whilst ground crews scrambled to work out a strategy to save the overheated satellite. By May 25, final preparations to launch Skylab 2 were being made.
This is the Kennedy Space Center, Skylab News Center. The countdown for the launch of Skylab 2, scheduled for 9 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Friday, began on schedule at 5:30 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time today. After installation of flight batteries in the Saturn 1B second stage and instrument units, batteries will be powered up and a series of tests of flight control, radio frequency, and telemetry systems will be initiated. Skylab 2 crew members, Charles Conrad, Joseph Kerwin, and Paul Weitz, arrived at Kennedy Space Center late yesterday This morning they're undergoing their F-2 medical examinations, and this afternoon they're scheduled for a bench review of items to be stowed in the command module and a stowage briefing. The tools to be used by the crew in work on the solar array and the twin-pole solar shield that would be deployed from the command module by Joseph Kerwin during a stand-up EVA are scheduled to arrive at Kennedy Space Center about 12:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time today. The tools were developed by the Johnson Space Center and the Marshall Space Flight Center and the twin-pole solar shield by the Marshall Space Flight Center. The parasol solar shield that will be deployed by Paul Weitz from the Workshop Scientific Airlock is scheduled to arrive at Kennedy Space Center later today. The parasol was developed by Johnson Space Center. That concludes our report.
With a new flight plan and tools aboard, Skylab 2 was launched.
We're approaching the one-minute mark in our countdown. Mark, T-minus 1 minute. 1 minute and counting in the launch of the first manned mission in Skylab. All stages switching to internal power, fuel tanks pressurized. At 30 seconds, water will begin spraying on the deck of the mobile launcher, and the countdown continuing to go smoothly. The Skylab itself orbiting some 780 nautical miles northeast of KSC at this time. T-minus 17 seconds and counting. At T-minus 3.1 seconds, we'll expect the engine sequence to start on the vehicle. T-minus 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, engine sequence start, 2, 1, 0. We have launch commit and we have liftoff. The clock is running and Skylab has cleared the tower.
Tower, Houston, Skylab 2, we fix anything. We've got a pitch and a roll program.
Houston is now controlling.
The thrust is going all engines.
Boy, is that a smooth ride.
25 seconds, pitch and roll program started. Skylab now maneuvering to its proper flight path attitude. Mark 35 seconds, 1 nautical mile on altitude. Mark 45 seconds, cabin pressure relieving, adjusting now from sea level to a space environment. Mark 50 seconds, 2 nautical miles in altitude.
And roll is complete, Houston.
Roger. Stand by for mode 1, Bravo. Mark, mode 1, Bravo.
Roger. Propellant up is RCS command.
Roger.
Mark, 1 minute, 8 seconds. Roll program complete.
LF Houston, your feet wet.
Roger, feet wet.
That call up from Capcom Dick Truly says Skylab now capable of water landing. 1 minute, 20 seconds. Passing through the period of maximum aerodynamic pressure on the vehicle. 1 minute, 25 seconds, 8 nautical miles in altitude.
Okay, EDS auto, 2 engine out. Launch vehicle rates are all off.
Roger, stand by for mode 1, Charlie. Mark, you're mode 1, Charlie.
What, Charlie?
A status check in mission control by Flight Director Phil Schaffer. A go, no go for staging. Given a go for staging.
Houston, you're go for staging. You're looking good.
Coming up now on staging and shutdown. Center engine shutdown. 7 outboards out.
I got an S4V light, Houston, and a nice staging.
Roger that.
Staging on schedule. Conrad White's Kerwin now riding on a good second stage engine. Coming up now on launch escape tower jettison.
4B.
Target, Houston, on time.
Roger, tower jettison, you're mode 2.
The launch escape tower now ejected, reports Conrad. Is crew safety roll no longer required. T-minus 25 seconds, the first stage and launch escape tower both falling away now, headed for their own splashdowns. Meanwhile, Conrad White's Kerwin now at 58 nautical miles. Skylab continuing to climb, moving out well beyond the Earth's atmosphere.
Okay, Houston, the computer looks good here.
Roger, we concur. CMC's go. Looking good, go at 4 minutes.
And we're go here, Houston.
167 nautical miles downrange. Skylab's onboard performance continues smooth. Onboard readings show Conrad White's Kerwin with their computer in Program 11, the Earth Orbit Insertion Program, ticking off their own altitude and velocity. Velocity now reading 9,852 feet per second. Flight Director Phil Schaffer pulsing his flight control team, looking good.
Skylab Houston, you're go at 5 minutes. The trajectory is right on the nominal.
And we're go here, Houston. Looks good in here.
Roger.
In command of Skylab 2 was Pete Conrad, a veteran of 2 Gemini and 1 Apollo spaceflight. He was the 3rd man to walk on the moon. Well, as Skylab 2 approached Skylab 1, all on the ground were anxious for his description of the true extent of the damage.
They give you a brief description if you suspected solar wing
1-2, right?
Is gone, completely off the bird. Solar wing 1 And isn't that partially deployed? And the reason that you've got different readings, not symmetric between your three solar panels, is there's a bulge of meteorite shield underneath it in the middle, and it looks to be holding it down. I think that we can take care of that with the SIVA. It looks at first inspection like we ought to be able to get it out. The gold foil has turned considerably black in the sun.
Roger, copy. Say again, Andrew.
The solar cell is clear. There's some. Hey, Houston.
Go ahead.
On the vent modules, all the covers are still intact.
Roger.
The covers did not leave the vent modules on wing number one.
Copy.
Houston, are we too close or too far for you?
I think you're real good, Pete. We can see that whole wing.
Okay, be advised, we have all four service module quad lights on from overheat. They're reading 200 degrees.
Roger.
As they maneuvered their Apollo capsule around Skylab, the crew were able to assess the condition of the solar panels.
Hopefully we'll get a report on the stand-up EVA from the crew.
Okay, Houston, the problem is the doors wouldn't do the job. And we're going to have to give up on it, but I really feel bad because it's just one little tiny old half-inch strap.
And I've just played that slightly ahead of time. Having flown around the Skylab, Conrad now docked Skylab 2 with Skylab 1. Now, while ground crews examined the televised pictures, Conrad, Weitz and Kerwin ate lunch. They then undocked and Conrad piloted his craft alongside Skylab's stuck solar panel. They depressurized their Apollo command module. Weitz leaned out its open hatch with Kerwin holding his legs. Using a 3-meter-long pole with a hook on the end, he attempted to pry loose the solar wing beam.
It has riveted itself to the side of this thing. Hey, Dick.
Roger. Go ahead.
What it is a piece of angle where the sections of meteorite shield are pulled. It runs right down next to it. It's wrapped around it just below the uppermost vent module. And it's wrapped around it over the rivet line over a length of about 2.5 feet. And that beam does not bend, and I can't budge that strap. This little strap is wrapped around it.
Hey, where's the disco? Watch it, Joe. Where's the ATM?
You're right. You are clear to move directly to the right.
Right? Okay.
Shortly later, afterwards, they expressed their frustration at not being able to move the panel.
Bam, here, let me get around and start the hatch in. Can I roll to my right, Joe?
And I'll be here. They are so frustrating to see such a little tiny thing hold that baby on there.
Yeah. All right. Hey, you got the cue card?
Yeah.
Every time that Weitz tugged on the strap, jamming the solar panel, the Apollo drew closer to the Skylab. Conrad, at the controls, had to keep firing Apollo's thrusters to keep backing away to avoid a collision. At the same time, Weitz's tugs disturbed the larger space station. This caused Skylab to expend a large amount of its nitrogen gas in thruster firings to maintain stability.
Skylab 2 crew apparently unsuccessful in bending back the aluminum angle, which Pete Conrad described as running some 2.5 feet along the edge of the solar wing beam, that the tools that were carried aboard were inadequate for removing this rather husky piece of angle.
The crew of Skylab 2 now had no choice but to close their hatch and move around to redock with Skylab 1. But the probe capture latches failed to engage.
At last contact over the Vanguard tracking station, the crew of Apollo of Skylab 2 was having difficulty in redocking. They'd made several attempts and were going down through the backup procedures for retracting and extending the probe. Several suggestions were made from the ground, such as going back to four-jet maneuvering on the reaction control system thrusters, whereas they had been only on two jet thrusting during the stand-up EVA to prevent the RCS plume from striking the pilot as he stood in the hatch. That is the situation at the moment. The management people and flight controllers are discussing and considering the various alternatives to getting the successful docking.
Conrad backed the command module away, then tried again. No luck. Several attempts were made. Finally, the crew depressurized the command module, removed its forward hatch, and disassembled part of the docking probe. Then they tried docking again.
Hey, way to go!
Considerable applause here on the report of hard docking.
Lexus, we got a tunnel integrity check in the work right now.
Hey, way to go. Good shot.
Now, you can tell Sim Soup that we really sure like to get some doggo days out of this thing after a while.
You can bet your life I will, Pete.
The crew now slept in the command module. Next day, Waits entered the Skylab wearing a gas mask.
Hey, is this POP?
Yeah, I'll take it, go ahead.
Okay, fairly quick inspection. OWS appears to be in good shape. It feels a little bit warm, as you might expect. From the 3 to 5 minutes I spent in there, I would say subjectively, it's about the dry heat. I guess it feels like 90 to 100 degrees in the desert. Hank, I could feel heat radiating from all around me, but in the short time I was in there, I never felt uncomfortable. I had the soft shoes and the gloves on, and nothing I touched even felt hot to me.
We heard Paul White's first assessment of the workshop.
After activating the space station, the crew deployed a parasol through a scientific airlock.
Okay, Houston, we had a clean deployment as far as the rod's clearing and everything, but it's not laid out the way it's supposed to be, and we've got pictures of it on the VTR for you. Now, right at the moment, we've oscillated the rod in and out a couple of inches short stroke-wise, rapidly, which has improved the deployment, but the problem seems to be is the folds in the material have taken too much of a set, and it is more fully deployed in the front across the upper skirt, but there are two folds emanating from the set, three folds emanating from the center deployment plate, one to each side and one towards the base skirt. So in effect, we have a trapezoid, which is the smallest dimension towards the base of the vehicle. Now, that's as far as we've gone. We're open for suggestions. I have the feeling that if we pulled it all the way in close to the vehicle, that it would touch in the back and along the sides. It might possibly help the folds out of the material, and that we then push her back out again and gently oscillate it in and out as we have in the past, which seems to improve it, but I think we've gotten about as much out of it as we're going to get. My guess is we've only got about 12 to 14 feet at the back end, with perhaps 18 to 20 at the front end. And I don't even know the dimensions of the sail.
Okay, the dimensions are supposed to be 22 by 24 feet.
Well, it's possible that we've got it completely backwards and we could turn it 180 degrees. That would, which way do you want, which dimension do you want the 24?
24 is the length of it. 22 feet should be the width.
Okay, and it is in fact a square. I mean a rectangle. Is that right, Houston? It's a rectangle?
Roger, it's rectangular, and the center of it, hub is off-center on the rectangle. There should be the poles that are pointed back toward the ATM should be the ones that have a length without fabric on them.
That's the way it is.
Now, before parasol erection, the temperature inside Skylab had been 54 degrees Celsius. Now, this was tolerable for as long as 5 hours, only because the air was arid. After the parasol, temperatures dropped to 32 degrees Celsius. The astronauts could now settle in and activate the experimental program. And those temperatures, of course, is why you sometimes see Skylab astronauts bare-chested floating around inside the laboratory. Well, Skylab 2 landed on June the 22nd of 1973. They were followed by Skylab 3 between July 28 and September 25. The final mission, Skylab 4, launched on November the 16th and landed in 1974, February the 18th. Skylab 1 itself finally decayed from orbit in 1979, July 11, with fragments landing in Western Australia. Well, this feature was produced by Andrew Rennie. You are listening to The Space Show, but right now it's handing over to Nick Black and Purple Haze.